Your radio, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
And it is again the Taylor Report, CIUT. I was speaking earlier, of course, of Paul Russo Sabagino. Tell listeners, you can go to, just go to Free Paul Russo Sabagino. Just write that and you'll get all the information you need and petitions, places to sign. I urge you to do that. And again, it is the Taylor Report. And it's let's call it the year-end review. And the big stories and what we ought to be thinking about. My opinion, we ought to talk about 2020 being the year that the world needed each other. All humanity needed to cooperate. And it came from the best places, that message, because we were faced with a virus for which they didn't have any antidote. And I'm not sure, we'll see what happens with the vaccine. But, you know, necessity is the mother of good, can be of good things. Unfortunately, as we've talked about often on the Taylor Report, there is a tendency in Western capitals to want to go their own way. And we had to face our own identity because the World Health Organization, its leadership, Canada's a member, and the United Nations issued some very important guidelines for all the nations and people of the world. But the main one was, this is a common problem, COVID-19, and we need to gather what we can in the way of information, medical information, expertise, and combat it, defeat it, so as to maximize survival of people, particularly the vulnerable. Unfortunately, what it revealed is that, as I started to say, Western capitals are not very enthusiastic because we have leaders such as we had the president, he remains President Donald Trump. Well, actually murders other leaders. He murdered General Soleimani of the Islamic Republic about a year ago and bragged about it. So a leader of that type is rather hard to convince that that international law should be obeyed and respect for other people and the sovereignty of other states and et cetera should happen. Canada is, of course, in a relative, I hate to use the word, but what the heck, vassal situation with the United States, and chose not to call out Trump for that act of murder. And it's a symptom of why we're having problems in the West of being able to cope with the COVID-19, because the capitalist nature of our system seems to be the most sacred part, and that means that those with the most wealth and power, because money is political power, worry first about themselves and do not lay down all their money and whatnot in their lives for everybody else. They do expect other people to do it for them. But it's been a lesson, and we ought to learn from it, that we were told cooperate and let's all do this together, and we didn't do that. And therefore, in United States, horrible statistics of people with COVID, hospital full, many thousands dead, and actually not getting out of the hole. We have in our type of society leaders who basically tread water, issue statements, appoint committees, and wait for the problem or the complainants to go away, which they usually do. And then that way they can say 6 months later, what was that about? Well, you see, COVID hasn't gone away. But it has shown that in the case of the United States, there's no public health system. There are governors who decide to do what they want to do. There are mayors who decide what they're going to do. And also in Canada. And there are people who talk about flattening curves. That is not what the World Health Organization recommended. Canada should be very proud that we have an outstanding doctor, Dr. Bruce Aylward, who is a member of the World Health Organization, but he's not championed in Canada because the Conservative Party, the Liberal Party, the NDP Party, they don't like Dr. Aylward because he said nice things about the People's Republic of China, because he said they'd tackle the problem, and they did. This began with Wuhan, the city of Wuhan, millions and millions of people in Wuhan, and they went into a lockdown, and it lasted for 3 months, and of course, the New York Times and the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star all pulled on their chins and worried that maybe civil liberties were being damaged and eroded, and probably the Chinese people would finally get up really mad at the Chinese government, the communist government. But that didn't happen. And matter of fact, after 3 months of doing it right, and Dr. Aylward was there as a witness, and he said they did it right, that's why he's in trouble. He said that they isolated those who had contracted it, COVID-19. They saw to it that they had the appropriate treatment. They kept them separate from people who did not have it. Then they traced, because they could still do it, because the numbers were of a type that you could manage, and also they have a public health system. They have a very sophisticated society, as people are learning. This former semi-colony of the West, who always got all the directions from British governors and Japanese generals and German statesmen and American Marines. It turns out that they really have a sound scientific commitment in many universities and quite modern productions of necessary equipment and whatnot, so that people can do their jobs and protect the population. That's what they did. And that just hurts the ears. And you mustn't hurt the ears of the New Democratic Party or the Liberal Party, or the Green, by the way. Even the nicest Green people I know all think they have to give a speech about they found something they don't quite like in China. I don't understand that, except as an expression of sick colonial thinking. Because when they say that, there's a policy that's hiding, and they're going to spring it on China. But at any rate, I make the point. The World Health Organization, Dr. Aylward, we're impressed with what was done, and we should be too. And here's the key point. China is a friend of ours. It's a friend. It has the talk in the papers here would tell you, make you think otherwise. China has no military economic designs on Canada. It would be Canada's good fortune, actually, if they could develop multilateral trade and all that. But Uncle Sam says that's not possible. Don't you dare. But the key thing is to keep the communications open, and particularly in a time of crisis, and see how much mutual assistance we can engage in. And it's there to be done. And this, we had the COVID thing where we're embarrassed, our leaders are embarrassed, they should be embarrassed, yeah, most of them should be removed, because people actually are dying and getting sick. And we have hemming, and we have hawing, and we have a little bit of finger pointing and fecklessness on the part of our leaders. And that's because, I have to say, we don't have a people's government. We have a strange colonial inherited colonial system with parliamentary business, and then you have business, and then you have gangs, and Canada belongs to a gang. That's another thing that was revealed so nakedly by 2020. Canada's a member of the Five Eyes. We really ought to repeat this all the time to anybody we talk to. Five Eyes, that's their own name for themselves, which is embarrassing in itself, is an intelligence gathering, mutually shared intelligence between five countries. The countries are Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, and the UK. And put this fact of Five Eyes against the tendency of Ms. Freeland and Minister Champagne and Prime Minister Trudeau, who say that because they got their foot in a crack on the Meng Wanzhou matter, they say the world is watching. Well, it is, actually, and the world is not impressed. Because you are a Five Eyes loyalist. That isn't the world. That is hardly dirt under the nails of the world. And the world has institutions like the United Nations. Five Eyes isn't a part of the United Nations. It's a gang. It makes a lot of trouble for the United Nations. And who are they again? Well, they are, that's what describes them. They are Anglo-American, white, English-speaking states. And they share intelligence with each other and advice. And not with us, by the way. If you're a Canadian or American, New Zealander, they don't share with you. What they share with you is that they know stuff. And if you say, well, what do you know? They say, can't tell you. But you can't have Huawei. And you say, well, why not? It's a business, it makes good product, and check it out. A lot of countries have it and benefiting. Why can't I have it? Well, because we know stuff. Well, what do you know? I can't tell you. And they also tell us things like, the Russians are hacking you. And you say, how do you know that? Well, we spy on them. Well, what are they doing? They're spying. Well, you guys are really, you're really something. We're trapped by where we have to listen to white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Anglo-American gang called Five Eyes, and we can't do anything unless they say yes. And so it's really time for Canada to join the world. Say, hey, I'm out of here, man. I am out of here. This is, we're going to get with the rest of the world. I understand we'll get stepped on. I'm not trying to ask anybody to commit suicide, but really, to win a little respect, if Mr. Champagne would like to see a little respect around the world, here's what you do. You should liberate Canada by freeing Meng Wanzhou. Liberate Canada from American diktat. A diktat in the form of my favorite quote of the year. I'm going to read it to you. This is CBC told me this, so it must be true. We're talking about how Meng Wanzhou of Huawei, executive, was in Canada, came to Canada, and the RCMP had a warrant for her immediate arrest, but they didn't immediately arrest her, as you know. Listeners of Taylor Report are all up on this stuff, but anyhow, they didn't arrest her right away. Instead, they let her go through the Canadian border group. So here's the quote that I like. This is from the CBC. At the time Meng was intercepted, CBSA officers took her electronic devices, placing them in special bags provided by the FBI to prevent them being remotely wiped. So, Canadian border people had been given bags by the FBI before they interviewed a person who has committed no offense in Canada. There's a Canadian businesswoman, actually. Hallway is big in Canada. We'll see how long before the it all falls apart. But here she is on her, by the way, she's just passing through. So there really would be no reason at all to bother her from the point of view of the border authorities. But they took a bag from the FBI to put her electronic devices in from the FBI. I don't understand how that works. And I have to tell you, this is the Taylor Report, CIT. I have to tell you, I haven't seen anybody explain how that could be. How do they get to do that? How is it possible that they could, I'm gonna answer this phone. How about that, I did it. We've been rescued. Nobody has explained how does the FBI get to give their special bag to the Border Authority of Canada? What they're saying is, Canada's a stooge, and sometimes we say vassal, but what in the world is going on? We don't even have our own bags. And then as everybody knows, this joke of a process went on, and they passed those bags, of course, to the RCMP in the bags, passed them, and then passed also her password. And then they said, oh, that was a mistake. And of course, well, it wasn't a mistake. But I guarantee you that judge is going to say it's fine and dandy because, you know, the more important thing is whether or not Bolton and Trump wanted this war person. It's time to actually try to become a country, I would suggest, and to get with the world. Because we're dealing with a country, in the case of the United States, which says that, in the words of Joe Biden, we're going to come back now, he says. You see, we've had the nightmare years. The Toronto Star has been in trauma for 4 years, and everybody here is allegedly in trauma. He says, we're going to come back now from the 4 years and take our place, leading the world. Well, as I said on last week's show, this has been the problem, because when they formed the League of Nations, the United States wouldn't join it. They decided because they didn't want COVID. They didn't want a world organization. They understood what the problem was. If you have a world organization, somebody's liable to tell you, you can't invade, or you can't do this and that. They understand that there was kind of a problem, so they didn't join the League of Nations. League of Nations then went down the tubes. As I said on the show last week, because among other things, the way they treated the lesser countries, Japan said we should have a paragraph in the Constitution of the League that says that all of us are equal. And Australia immediately said that'd be impossible because they were an outpost of the British race. Therefore, we couldn't do that. Well, anyway, we went through another war because of that stupidity, another horrible war, many millions dead, and then they formed the United Nations, and they did put the line back in there, and the United States did join. So now you have a world body where they've agreed, this is just actually a glorious treaty arrangement where things will be sorted out, both politically and legally. But Washington doesn't want that. Washington wants to be number one. For example, the United States has placed sanctions on all kinds of people, all kinds of states. The Secretary General Guterres of the United Nations has said, we are experiencing a pandemic, and it's particularly damaging to countries that are having wars, experiencing wars, and also poverty, which go with the war, refugee, and all kinds of humanitarian crises. We should not be sanctioning these countries. Sanctions, particularly on medical supplies, should be lifted. Well, the United States refuses to do that. So Canada needs to find a voice and say, well, that needs to be corrected. And don't wait around for the Americans to correct it. Correct it yourself. Don't enable their sanctions against Syria and against the Islamic Republic, and their coming sanctions against dozens of other places. So we need, this is 2020 should have taught us that this going it alone, Darwinian, white racist policy, and neo-colonialism, that'll get a lot of people killed. And the idea that because you have the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans that you're free from that is one of the delusions that probably ended with, should have ended with international ballistic missiles. So those are things that I believe 2020 we have learned. There's been a political lesson also in that we, I think, have been shown once again that the Democratic Party, like the New Democratic Party, not capable of saving our population in a world, you see, of other countries, because they buy into neocolonialism. They buy into the idea they can lecture China. Hong Kong, Macau, Taiwan are part of China. You know, how do I know that? Because the United Nations says so. Because Canada and the Americans all said so. They didn't say, we invite Western imperialists to see if they can cause problems for the country of China by playing to somebody's separatist thinking and whatnot. Because they said there's one China. Its capital is Beijing. And in order to safely navigate relations, we have to fight against the tendency, which is the overwhelming one, I guess, of neo-colonialism, neo-imperialism. In the United States, it's embarrassing to report because we said nice things about Congresswoman Tlaib, T-L-A-I-B, and AOC, who's becoming really at warp speed, a sellout and a fraud, I guess. But in what I'm talking about is they endorse the most aggressive and ignorant policies coming out of the Pentagon and the CIA and, you know, Five Eyes, lying about China, but also trying to hurt them, trying to hurt China. Tlaib couldn't know the first thing about China. Certainly not AOC. They are fed stuff from their political betters who tell them malarkey, racist, sick stuff, which they are permitted to believe because they have also taken the pill of anti-communism. You know, Einstein and Thomas Mann in their correspondence talked about what they found when they came as German refugees from Hitler. And Mann and Einstein said, boy, the Americans are a lot like the Germans. They really have this thing, particularly in politics, of they think that it's somehow they're rabid on the subject of anti-communism. Both Thomas Mann and Einstein had many experiences with, and knew communists, of course. Some they liked and some they didn't. But they were not, it wasn't a pathology. It was a political difference when it was a difference. It was agreement, but it was an agreement. But here we have a really, I have to call it a political illness. And so everybody feels they have to unload on the most stupid vitriol. And Tlaib did it. Tlaib put in this recent legislation, can't have any relations with China unless they fix this thing in their country, unless they fix that thing in their country. That's why we need to wake up and find our political bearings and tell such people to get lost. They're doing damage. Bernie Sanders did it, of course. Bernie Sanders made an ass of himself. Here he had a people who wanted medicine for care for all. They wanted to. They wanted student tuition. They wanted to protect students from this overwhelming debt. They wanted, you know, all the good things. And he mobilized a lot of people. But then when you ask him about foreign policy, this is where they all show their true colors. And I credit Rania Kallik, who writes, and I see her at Gray Zone and other places. I won't name it. She got a show with a funny name. But anyhow, Rania Kallik, she said, this is how you spot them. And she's absolutely right. When you ask them about Cuba or Venezuela, they all get funny. Or if you ask them about bombing Syria, they get funny. They're as bad as Chomsky, who gets very funny on this stuff. And it has to be recognized. The best of the bunch, actually, I'll say it again, is Tulsi Gabbard, because she said our problem is regime change wars. Regime change wars. She visited Syria. She didn't say every perfect thing, but she said we should not have the sanctions on Syria. She said that we should have no business interfering in the internal affairs there. That was wonderful. She also said, and had said from the beginning, that Julian Assange should be freed. And by the way, by this time, he should be paid damages for what's happened to him. She also called for dropping charges against Snowden. Why? Well, because both of them revealed to the American people something the American people needed to know, that they were the targets of spying by their own government. Kind of important, isn't it? Spying, as you're being spied on by your own government. That's the part that needs to be recognized here. And I will say for the NDP, they all sign on to baiting China. Here's Dr. Aylward being respected as a Canadian doctor, doing his job, and he is doing his job. He's telling the truth about what he sees. And all they want to know is, why do you say nice things about them? They're bad people. My goodness. We have to be very sharp, much sharper in these days now, in my opinion, to recognize propaganda. I'm not claiming I don't do propaganda. I'm telling you that everything ought to be thought about in terms of what's the motivation of the person or institution telling me things. The Globe and Mail engages, I've said it over and over, in propaganda. And then my favorite example of their propaganda is that every day on the front page of their paper, they say 747 days of Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor have been jailed in China. Okay, that's propaganda, because they don't add that for 56 days, Meng Wanzhou has been held in Canada longer than the two Michaels. I understand there are different charges. In her case, there's no charge in Canada. She hasn't done anything to Canada. Everything she did in Canada was good for Canada, because it's business and people wanted jobs and et cetera, technology. So that her company has been doing good. However, she's deprived of her freedom, held, some people say, in a nice house. What's the difference? She's not home and she's not able to do her work. She's being held to please Donald Trump and probably Biden. We'll see. So it's propaganda not to put the number of days she's been held, and she didn't commit a crime in Canada. In the case of the two Michaels, it is alleged against them by a government that they violated Chinese laws inside China. And anybody who tells you that they know all about the case is pulling your leg. There are two names. They have, one has a business and the other has political affiliations. And they may or may not have done that, such a thing. But if you're going to mention one, you have to mention the other, because if you only mention one, that means you're a colonialist. It means it's you're okay with her being held for 2 years, denied, when she was taken, deprived of her rights, not knowing that the Canadian border people were working with the FBI. So we need to liberate Canada from Five Eyes and get with the United Nations and with other nations, so that when Champagne says the world is watching, he's part of the world and not just one of the Five Eyes hanging around inside a fence with an armed guard. So that's the sort of thing, in my opinion, we need. People ought to be reading Gray Zone, Stephen Gowans, Canada Files, get active in asking that Canada behave like a sovereign government, a member of the United Nations, and not a member of gangs that have been designed to destroy the United Nations, such as NATO and Five Eyes. Learn how to cooperate. I hope everybody remains in good health and that we follow the practices recommended by the World Health Organization, implemented by China, and defeat the virus. This is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report.
CIUT would like to thank everyone who donated during our Love Your Radio fundraising drive. Our post fundraiser is now underway, and you can still donate at CIUT.fm/donate to help us reach our goal of $100,000. Every little bit helps. Thanks again, and stay tuned. CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city. Stream CIUT at www.ciut.fm.
So what I'm saying, the indigenous way of CIUT.